This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Yeah, great to be with you.
And Bridget, no one's predicting when the end of the whole virus situation, the whole stay-at-home situation, no one's predicting exactly when it's going to end and get back to normal, should we ever do that. But one thing we do want to point out is that most churches now have begun to start opening again and having masses on some kind of a limited schedule, or actually some churches are running extra masses because they can't have as many people in the church at one time. They're having more masses. The parish where I go, St. Louis de Montfort, will be having masses in the church and the school gym at the same time, just because they can't have as many people in the church. So whatever your parish is doing, I just want to encourage you to check with your parish. If you can get online, of course, that's the way to do it. But even if it's a phone call to the parish, hopefully somebody will get back with you, or you know, ask your next door neighbor or somebody you know who can get online and just find out what's going on at your parish and get ready to jump right in there and take advantage of it.
Yes, and as masses, as we go back to mass and as the economy reopens, we want to do that in a very safe way to keep us all safe. And but there is a lot of conflicting information out there, and the ball kind of seems to keep moving in terms of what we're supposed to do. But today we have a local expert, Dr. James Callahan. He is the president and CEO of Franciscan Health of Central Indiana, to give us kind of a local take and how Franciscan Health is responding and has responded to this pandemic locally. So, Dr. Callahan, welcome to Faith in Action. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you, Bridget, and appreciate the invite, and thanks to Jim as well.
Well, tell us a little bit about Franciscan Health. I think you guys have gone through kind of a rebranding name. So what does that really encompass, Franciscan Health of Indianapolis? And then tell us a little bit about your background and maybe what you specialize in medicine other than being the CEO and president.
Sure. So Franciscan Health is a Catholic health system, obviously of a Franciscan bend, founded in 1875. And really an interesting story there, in that we had a group of sisters come over from Germany in 1875 at the request of the Bishop of Lafayette to set up a hospital because the community was facing a tuberculosis epidemic at a time when there were no antibiotics for it. And so fast forward now, here we are in a pandemic, and we connect to our roots that way in an interesting way. But Franciscan Health is a 13-hospital system. Most of those are located in Indiana and some some activity in the south suburbs of Chicago, along with hundreds of care sites and hundreds of physicians we employ and thousands of physicians on our medical staff.
Now, Doctor, you mentioned the two words that some people are confused on and could use a little explanation of a epidemic and a pandemic.
Yeah, I think we could just say the difference is in the effect and the breadth and the effect on patients. So an epidemic is a disease that is widespread, having a certain effect. The pandemic may see a higher prevalence and thereby greater harm to a population.
Well, Dr. Callahan, tell us a little bit about your background and what you specialize in medicine. I'm really curious.
Well, yeah, thanks, Bridget. That's an interesting question. And I'm a family physician by background, and as far as becoming connected with Franciscan, I was fortunate to do much of my residency training with Franciscan Health here in Indianapolis. And so I was drawn to the people and I was drawn to the mission. And interestingly, I'm an Air Force brat, and so I was raised moving around to some different Air Force bases. And I was around a lot of mission-oriented, selfless people and their family members. And I noticed that when I was around Franciscan Health again, that I felt that same camaraderie and that same sense of family. And so that really drew me into into Franciscan. And I will say that apart from being a family physician, I spent a few years myself as a flight surgeon in the Air Force, and we learned certain things about disaster planning and how to standardize activities, and that was, I think, a helpful experience for me in facing now this situation with the pandemic.
Now, Doctor, talking about the facility at Franciscan Health there, how large is it locally here in central Indiana? I mean, how many beds, how many branch offices do you have, or satellite emergency rooms or things like that?
Yeah, so we have three hospitals in the Indianapolis area. The largest is our campus located on the south side of Indianapolis, just off I-65 on the south side, south of Southport Road. We also have a facility in Mooresville to the southwest of Indianapolis, and then a small facility in Carmel. We have hundreds of beds together in those three facilities, and tens of different physician office locations, and those and we have urgent care facilities as well, called Franciscan Express Care, including one in downtown Indianapolis.
Wow.
In the Cityway area.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Dr. James Callahan. He's the president and CEO of Franciscan Health of Central Indiana. And were you concerned when this first hit, or maybe even before it hit Indiana or even the states, were you concerned about it being outstripping, the virus outstripping the need, or the, you know, the need outstripping the facilities that we had to care for people? Was that a concern for you guys there?
Well, I think it was a national concern, and so we shared that concern. We were watching these so-called hotspots develop, such as New York and other areas. So we really moved into a disaster planning mode should we see a surge in patients. So we set up command centers at all of our hospitals where we coordinated with our staff and our physicians and our infection prevention activities and supply chain for all the personal protective equipment that would be needed, making sure that ventilators and other material were in adequate supply, communication systems. And so we worked on all that in order to get ready. I think that we have seen that we have bent the curve, so to speak. We wanted to flatten the curve, as it said, and we're just always seeking to decrease the prevalence, of course, of what we see in COVID out there.
Well, what have you learned, I guess, in terms of, or maybe how has Franciscan Health evolved in its response, you know, because I know that, you know, when this started in the beginning, I mean, hospitals and any kind of physicians were kind of moving with as this evolved. How has Franciscan Health evolved, or what's changed, if anything?
Well, we really needed some innovation and flexibility, and I think that we achieved that. So, for instance, we set up testing centers that were, I guess you could call them mobile. So we were having drive-up testing centers, treatment areas and specific clinics for patients who were having symptoms that could be COVID. We had a lot of online outreach with questionnaires patients could complete. And then if their symptoms were suspicious for COVID, we connected them to a nurse to have a phone conversation with to determine if an in-person or other kind of visit would be needed. And we also expanded what we call virtual care a lot. So now, in addition to having some in-person physician visits for patients who may or may not have COVID infection, we're having online visits between patients and their physician or their nurse practitioner. And so that's been good to do, and it's been different. And we've had a lot of we've had a lot of innovation as far as what we're doing, which I could describe also.
Now, you mentioned the kind of teleconference with your doctor, whether it be a phone call or a video meeting or something like that. How effective is that, and how likely is that to continue once things get back to normal, should that ever happen?
You know, I think that virtual care has been very helpful. You know, you can do some things on a telephone visit alone, and then you can do more things in a video visit, and then, of course, the highest level is an in-person visit. But the virtual care can accomplish a majority of the type of visit that we do. And so because of that reason, I think that it's here to stay, actually. So I think one change we'll see in healthcare as a result of COVID is a continued virtual care activity.
Yeah, and it's I'm really glad that is going to continue, because I can just think of so many reasons why that would be helpful. So I'm glad to hear that is going to continue. Now, what is the status right now? And I don't know if you will know the answer to this, but in terms of, do we need to be afraid to go outside? I mean, that's just kind of a practical question. I mean, you hear so many different things, you know. How dangerous is this going to be going forward for, I guess, all of us to go back out into society and mass, you know, to be honest?
Yeah, that's a great question, Bridget, and I think that both on the national and state level, we're working through that. The federal government's CDC, or Center for Disease Control, puts out recommendations. The state authorities are informed by that, and then the state authorities make their recommendations. And so I think we have that for the state, for Marion County, for other counties. We have those guidelines. I think if we try to follow those, we will be in pretty good shape. We know that those who have a higher age, or those with a number of medical problems, have a higher risk of harm from the virus. And so paying particular attention to exposures and so on is especially important for those groups.
I do want to ask you, before we take a break, in terms of treatment, I'm sure that you've treated some patients there in Franciscan Health, you know, in the last couple of months or weeks that had COVID. Was there anything in particular that seemed to be working? You know, there's a lot of talk about different treatments, although there isn't a cure. Have you found any treatments to work well?
Yeah, great question, Bridget. There's a lot of work going on about that right now, and Franciscan is involved in those efforts, and I'll mention a few. There's a drug being used now with some patients with severe symptoms in a more difficult state. It's an antiviral medicine called remdesivir. And so that supply is being maintained by the state, and the state distributes it to hospitals based on their need, which is based on the patients they're treating and the condition of those patients. There's another very interesting treatment out called convalescent plasma, and that involves drawing blood from patients who have already had COVID and now show antibodies to it, and taking their blood and administering that blood to patients having an active infection. And that has shown to be effective in some cases, so that's being studied as far as how effective that would be on a large scale. And then we've been involved in some other research studies to either treat the virus or treat its effects as we go through this. And that is for the medication part. One last thing I'll mention as far as innovative ways to treat patients is it's been found that some patients with COVID do better when air can reach their lungs in a different way, especially to the upper parts of their lung. And so we've been doing, as some other hospitals have, some what we call proning, where patients are rotated from a lying position to a prone position sometimes.
Okay. Those are both all good information. Well, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to give you some tips on how you can stay safe. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley's in the studio, and we're talking with our guest, Dr. James Callahan. He's the president and CEO of Franciscan Health of Central Indiana. And Jim, you had a question.
Well, I had a question. Initially, when we first heard about this, it was kind of assumed that every hospital in the country might be totally overwhelmed by it. And so most hospitals did the right thing. They prepared for that big super surge of cases coming, and that didn't really occur at all hospitals. I'm just wondering how it went at Franciscan. I know you were ready, but how did the number of COVID patients that actually showed up compare to what you were expecting?
Yeah, great question, Jim. And we did get ready, and we were not overrun. We've been taking care of a number of COVID patients, and most are concentrated in certain areas of the hospital where we can devote special care to them. And so we've had better than published success rates with patients surviving COVID and then some cases being intubated, that is on a breathing machine, and surviving that and coming off that. So that's been encouraging. We've tested thousands of patients, and you know, for those who come back positive, most of them have been able to manage their care at home, staying hydrated, taking Tylenol for fever and that kind of thing. But one thing we should point out is that that life goes on, and other health conditions occur that are not COVID for patients, and so. Of course, we're still doing life-saving care. We still have patients come in with heart attacks and strokes. We still do surgery. We've been doing that for heart disease and for cancer, because those kinds of surgeries should not be delayed and have not been delayed, because we wouldn't want to cause patient harm that way. So we do want to say that it's safe to come in if you have conditions that need to be treated, or screenings for cancer, for instance, that need to be done.
So, yeah, the message is just go to the hospital. It's safe, right? If you need to go to the hospital for other reasons or get care, it is safe to go. So let's get into some tips here, Dr. Callahan. What can people do, or what are the most important things people can do to stay safe? They don't have to hide forever, right?
Yeah, that's true. I think going with the CDC and state guidelines is the way to go. Frequent hand washing is what you want to do. Masking in certain situations. The social distancing still. I think if we can keep all that going while responsibly opening up the economy and so on, then we should be able to keep the disease at a low enough level that when a vaccine comes out, we'll be able to administer that widely and really take another big step to getting back to life as normal, as we say.
Now, are there regional differences? Like, I mean, can we feel, quote-unquote, safer in Indiana than we would in New York, per se? Like, is the risk lower in Indiana? I mean, I know it's the same virus, but I've also heard that there are different strains that were on the West Coast versus the East Coast. But in terms of Indiana, I mean, are we safer here because we don't have mass transportation to the extent that, you know what I'm saying, that the demographics are different? Is that true?
I think that's a good point. Some of the cities hard hit have been characterized by more mass transit use and things where people are going to be more closely concentrated together. It's really hard to say what our prevalence or what our risk of transmitting or catching the virus is compared to other cities, because we just haven't had enough testing to be able to tell what that number is. So in the absence of knowing that, we have to fall back on those public health measures to keep everybody safe.
I wonder, in the last couple of days, I've just been hearing on news media two kind of opposing schools of thought. One is, that I hadn't even thought about before, is that most all sicknesses and illnesses on their own, even if not treated, would reach a peak as far as saturation go and then gradually taper off on their own anyhow, just because they kind of reach the end of the cycle, so to speak. And then other people are saying, no, it's coming back in the fall and it could be even worse than it was before. Your thoughts on that?
I think, Jim, we don't know yet. And so, we're trying to use the measures to prevent the spread of the disease. And nobody knows if the summertime and its warmer weather will help greatly reduce the prevalence of the virus. And then, we don't know whether it's weather or other things that could allow it to come back in the fall. And the other factor is the degree to which we prevent transmission is going to determine a lot of that. So if we, really relaxed a lot, then we'd see possibly a spike later. And if we keep on doing our opening the economy steps while keeping these things in mind, then hopefully we can keep it at this lower level going forward.
Well, Dr. Callahan, what are your thoughts about children going back to school in the fall? I mean, I know this is all kind of a moving target, but generally speaking, children have not been as affected as obviously the 65-plus group. What are your thoughts about that, about children?
Yeah, it's a great question. Kids have not been as affected by the virus as adults have. The kids in school settings will be around adults, and obviously
right.
the adults will sometimes, if a child has the disease but is not showing many symptoms, an adult, like a teacher, could get the virus and then spread it from there. I know colleges are beginning to look at how to bring students back. Some are saying we're going to restart earlier and then go until Thanksgiving and then send everybody home for the semester with no fall break and not bring them back, because the concern is if some college students went home for fall break to different areas of the country and came back to school, they could then spread the disease more on a campus. So I think we'll see continued study by the epidemiology experts on how elementary and high schools should open in the fall.
So again, I'm going to go back to the higher risk group. Should they stay in, or will they ever be able to go out, or can they feel safe to go out to their doctor or wherever as long as they wear a mask and wash their hands, would you say?
I do think that. I think that if those precautions are being taken, then I think certainly folks, that have a number of health problems or that are higher in age, we want them to seek the appropriate medical care, for instance, because we don't want heart disease, cancer, or other diseases to hit when there was concern about avoiding COVID. So we do a little of both. We take those COVID precautions while doing the right kind of healthcare and preventive medicine for patients at the same time.
So are there any resources at Franciscan Health, or if people wanted more information about Franciscan Health, do you have a web page that you could give our listening audience if they want to learn more about Franciscan Health?
Yeah, certainly you can Google us at Franciscan Health and franciscanhealth.org. We have a page devoted to COVID treatment and COVID precautions. We have people that we have the questionnaires you can take, and people that that our folks can talk to, our community members can talk to about those questions. And certainly we would encourage people to call their physician's office if they have any questions about this kind of thing.
Kate, I'm sorry we let this question go till the very end because I just thought of it now. But what sort of symptoms should a person be looking for? They wake up tomorrow morning and they have a cough and they think, maybe, what should they be looking for?
Yeah, I think cough and fever and feelings of fatigue. Also, some have described loss of taste or smell, certainly shortness of breath. Any of those things are a concern, and patients should seek to get that checked out. That's different than seasonal allergy symptoms, which may be a runny nose and some drainage, and they feel in their throat, and that can cause some cough. But with allergies, you wouldn't see fever, and you wouldn't see the extreme fatigue that you would in these viral infections.
Well, Dr. Callahan, President and CEO of Franciscan Health of Central Indiana, thanks so much for being our guest. We're out of time. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bridget and Jim.
God bless you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400. Or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.